Thank you to our voices in praise this morning for your leadership. We're so grateful, and we look forward to next Sunday and being outside, even though it will be early and most likely dark when the volunteers are setting up. And we are grateful for all those who volunteered. If you'd like to volunteer to help, just give us a call at the church office this week. We'd love to hear your willingness to help us in these outdoor services. We continue this morning in our Lenten series, From Dust to Promise, Refreshing Our Hearts. This is the third sermon in this series, and the sermon this morning is entitled, One Table Still Standing. Our scripture reading comes from the lectionary. Notice that it changes this week from the Gospel of Mark to the Gospel of John, just for this week, I believe. John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22 will be what I read this morning. And it is here in these verses, in John 2, 13 to 22, that we find a familiar story, familiar to many, about Jesus cleansing the temple, actually the temple courtyards. The temple courtyards were several hundred yards in length. They were outside the temple proper, and the money changers have taken up doing their business in the court of the Gentiles. And so the Gentiles have nowhere to worship in the temple courtyard, and that is one of the reasons scholars believe that Jesus overturned the tables and tried to run them out. So these are very familiar verses, and while they may be familiar, there is a lot going on in these 10 verses. I made close to 40 pages of notes this past week on this passage. There is so much to share. I hope you have a couple of hours this morning to be online and to listen, because we'll actually do it in much shorter time than that. But notice as you hear this text being read this morning that it is a dialogue in which Jesus and the Jews talk past one another. It opens with several verses describing Jesus coming into the temple and making his whip of cords. And by the way, one scholar suggested this is the only place in the Gospels where we are told of Jesus ever making anything. We know that he was a carpenter. We know that he must have been skilled. But this is the only record of his making anything. And note that it is a whip of cords, to drive out the business people and all the paraphernalia of the money changers. And then if you note, when I read verses 16, 18, and 20, this is the time in which Jesus and the Jews speak past one another about Jesus' actions. And then woven into this conversation are the descriptions of his disciples' reactions to what is going on before their eyes and what is being said about it by others. And then in the last two verses, there is a comment from a narrator who speaks, a narrator, for the reader's sake, for our sake, to help us understand what Jesus has just said. In essence, then, there are quite a few characters in these 10 verses. I made a note of them. There is Jesus, the Jews, the disciples, the narrator, the voice of the prophet Zechariah, the voice of the psalmist David, according to Psalm 69, and there are the readers, and then there's a narrator to help us understand Jesus' statement about himself and his body being the temple. And so with all of that long narration, that long introduction, you didn't know there was so much there. Listen then to this familiar story, right? A familiar story to us. Listen now to the Word of God for us today. Beginning at verse 13 in chapter 2, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." And then verse 17, his disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" Narrator, verse 21. but he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Let us pray as we come to this message this morning. O Lord and our God, remind us this day of the beauty of your word. There is so much you have to teach us. There is so much we have to learn. And during this season of Lent, may we be people of faith that seek to nurture ourselves and grow close to you as we continue our journey to that great day of Easter and the celebration of our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is his name that we pray. Amen. Well, here we are, about midway through Lent, and pretty much every year in the season of Lent, we are called to look at this extremely odd story of Jesus taking a whip to the money changers. This year, the lectionary offers it to us, as I mentioned, from John's Gospel, so we defer from Mark this week. It isn't an easy story for most of us to embrace. Many of us enjoyed growing up looking at the meek and mild Jesus in Warner Solomon's painting of Jesus with brown hair, some blonde streaks in his hair, and saccharine blue eyes. How can this Jesus do this in this particular passage? But it is a timely story, for us, because Lent is the great spring cleaning time in the Christian's life. It is the tradition of season, of prayer, the season of prayer and the reading of Scripture in preparation for the festival of Easter. The word Lent, as you may know, comes from a Saxon word meaning spring. In the early church, Lent was rightly viewed as spiritual spring cleaning, in so many words, a time in which we were to be about the renewal of one's soul and the inner spiritual life. It represented a time of the year we were to make every effort to return to a life in which God once more is at the center and the source of our very being. Lent, as we know, also is a secular season. It's known oftentimes as a time of spring cleaning, a time to clean our houses and get our house in order. And just to the point, for us as Christians, it's time to clean our souls and to clean up our acts. The purpose of Lent, to prepare for the coming of Christ on the resurrection at Easter. The common assumption about this reading in John's Gospel is that Jesus was cleansing the temple of commercial abuse. Almost all Bible translations put that title on the top of this particular chapter, the cleansing of the temple by Jesus. But the animals, you see, and the money changers had a right to be there according to the law. According to the Torah, God's law, there was a requirement that God made of animal sacrifice in the temple. And the money changers were there to help all of those pilgrims who were coming up to Jerusalem to come once a year to the temple and make a sacrifice. And the money changers had to change the coinage for people to make a purchase of an animal and for them to levy a tax that also went to the temple, a half a shekel. No other coins could be received at the temple, especially those with graven images of emperors or idols. And so the money changers were necessary. But in John's Gospel, the point is that Jesus is not so much cleansing the temple from commercial abuse. It is rather the point that Jesus is making a statement early here in John's Gospel that their efforts are no longer necessary because of Jesus himself. Jesus' disruption of this most significant festival of the year is a significant turning point in every gospel story about Jesus. This story of Jesus cleansing the temple and overturning the tables of the money changers, again, it's in all four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, And this event, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it takes place toward the end of Jesus' ministry. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's the last straw for the religious leaders before they seek to annihilate him. But John tells that story, this story, in the very second chapter of his recollection of Jesus' ministry. And from then on, from that second chapter, the religious leaders seek to out him. John's gospel differs, you see, and it differs in several ways that are worth noting this morning as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. First, again, Jesus is just beginning his ministry. It is right after this story, right after the miracle in Cana of Galilee. You remember that's where Jesus turned the water into wine. And then he returned to the little town of Capernaum with his mother and his disciples. His mother and his disciples and his brothers. And John tells us in chapter 2, verse 11, that his disciples believed in him because of this first sign of changing water into wine. They believed him just for that miracle alone. Now, in our reading this morning, just after Jesus' first miracle and the disciples believing in him because of just that, we will see the disciples begin for the first time to actively engage in trying to understand this Jesus in whom they believe with the help and the aid of Scripture. And this becomes an occurrence in every gospel that it often is said they remembered later what Jesus had said about his death and resurrection. And John already implements it here in the second chapter. I wondered what they thought about this particular event. After all, the disciples must, after Jesus did all this with that whip, when he did all that, they must have had a fairly sleepless night because of all of this craziness at the temple that Jesus caused. They must have found it terribly disconcerting to witness Jesus be so unhinged, throwing furniture, shouting at the top of his lungs, flinging coins into the air. Perhaps they ran for cover with the crowd. I know I probably would have. Did they look him in the eye the next morning? Or did they stare at the ground and kind of shuffle their feet and try to make conversation with him? They would have been put off, I believe, by this occurrence. It would have given them a number of struggles, a number of things to think about. Secondly, note, we also see in these verses John's placement of them at the beginning of his gospel, as I mentioned, that such understanding of both Jesus and the Scriptures become an unfolding process. It was for those first disciples, and it will still be so for us as we come to know God. It will always be an unfolding process. What does this Jesus mean by these actions? What can I learn from them? In fact, remembering of Scripture and the remembering of Jesus' own words is at the center of the lives of the disciples, and they should be at the center of our lives. How helpful it is to see Jesus' own disciples coming to a deeper realization of what it means to believe in Jesus. And gradually, they come more fully to understand the ways of God. And that is clearly the purpose of this spring cleaning time in Lent in our lives. To fully understand how Jesus serves the God who has sent him. And how we are called to follow him and make him again the centerpiece of our lives. Belief on the basis of Jesus' first sign of the miracle of his turning water into wine most likely would have quickly proven to be a shallow belief. That belief, and as important as it may have been, must be deepened and extended. And so must our faith as this story challenges us as well. The cleansing of the temple then begins to spell out more deeply Jesus' identity for his disciples and for us. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? It reminds us that we are to have an ongoing engagement with the Scriptures. And then thirdly, finally, John's gospel moves us just beyond the cleansing of the temple and to Jesus telling us that the money changers and their temples, their tables, and the temple will no longer be necessary. What a dramatic thing to say. What a dramatic thing it would have been for those Jews, the disciples, to have heard. The temple no longer needed, destroyed, and you will build it again in 3 days. What does this mean? And the narrator comes in and helps us understand that Jesus was referring to his body that would be raised in 3 days. As Jesus overturned all the tables in the temple courtyard that day, he was already pointing here to his death and resurrection and a table that would stand to this day, a table of grace, of love, and of joy. For Jesus is the one in whom we ultimately find God. And so as we come now to this table of our Lord, we come preparing our hearts and minds and asking Jesus to be the center of our very lives. Let us pray, asking him to be just that. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks, for you have always been with us, even during those times in which we have wandered in the wilderness, those times in which we have allowed ourselves to be enslaved by things, by possessions, by chemicals. Oh Lord, we give you thanks that you free us from bondage. You offer us the gift of new life. You teach us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Oh Lord, by your Spirit, bind us to Christ. Set us free for joyful obedience and glad service to you. And as Jesus gave his own life for ours, help us to live our lives for others. This we pray through Christ. All glory and honor be to you, Almighty Father, with your Holy Spirit and your church, both now and forever. Amen. And as we come to this table, we remember on the night in which Jesus was arrested, he took bread. And when he had given thanks in prayer, as we have just done, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." He also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, of it. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." I invite you now to take something that you prepared to eat at home, and let us partake, for this is the body of Christ broken for us. Amen. In the same manner, having prepared something to drink, we remember this is the cup of Christ, the cup of salvation. Praise be to God for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we thank you that you have fed us at this table. You have nourished us with the body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, prepare our homes to be places in which we welcome others and show signs of your kingdom that has broken into this world. We pray for that day when your kingdom comes in its fullness. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come into our world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.